Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Merry Christmas. I want to welcome everybody here. Super excited to be with you this morning. I'm going to be brief and amazing. After some people laughing with derision, I think, or maybe some hopeful want. After I conclude, we're going to have the children come forward, and they're going to do a short presentation with us to conclude this morning. But Lexi, we're so excited. Congratulations. You look good in green. I mean, you're in almost in uniform. Stephen and Heather, not Newton. Where are our Brits? There they are. Stephen and Heather. This is Stephen. Could you guys stand up? In fact, the whole family. Steph, Andy. Okay, so we want to welcome them. You got to sit back down. Okay, Stephen, Heather, your daughter didn't ask me to do that, so there's no penalty, no punishment later, removal of Christmas presents. It's all on me. So keep that new Lexus, the car that you give it to somebody else. I forfeited it just then. But this is Steph's mom and dad from Northern Ireland. They're here for Christmas. We welcome you. Thank you for sowing generously. Your grandchildren, your children, thank you. But we do welcome you amongst us. We're thrilled to have you. Yeah. And we do love your kids. And we're going to do a really good job in loving your family. But come back and visit. And we'll come back and visit you over in Northern Ireland. Super excited about this morning. And I just want to briefly look at one verse and just kind of unpack it a little bit. It's already been mentioned two or three times this morning. It's out of Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. And I also want to say, real quick, I don't know what they did to make that baby cry. Whose baby is that? Oak! Did they make Oak cry? He was tired. And Joseph, it's great to see you this morning. Great, 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 great. Had challenges this week, but it's great to see you. I don't know what they did up there, but that was perfect, and thank you. And just for the children this morning in here, if you have a child that's squawking and squealing, it's fine. It's Christmas. It's normal. It's family. Don't go, oh, we have to run out. And if you're around that child, blame it on me. Have you ever, you know, when I was younger, before we had children, we both had children, Randy and I. Sometimes there'd be some babies crying around us and we go, oh my goodness, what's wrong? And then we had children and like, let them cry. Let them vocalize. Let them communicate life. It's a beautiful thing. My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is in the front row. And we have the privilege of serving in this community here. We love this church. Welcome to Life Church. Stephen did such a great job of announcing all kinds of funny things. I just want to say this morning, I've already had a really awkward day. Last night, Heather Newton was in my dream. She was selling me potato salad. I don't know that that's on my Christmas banquet, but I was like, what are you doing in my dream selling me potato salad? But at least it was mustard-based, so, you know, it wasn't that, vinegar. Ugh, we don't do that. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I wanted to start with a scripture out of Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. The prophet Isaiah, as Ryan already mentioned, 700 years before Jesus was born, prophesied that a child is going to be born. And Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, this is what the Bible says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called a wonderful counselor. He will be called mighty God. He will be called everlasting Father. And he will be called Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the greatness, another word in translation, the increase. This is amazing. Of the greatness, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And I think about that. You know, the government, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But is there anybody here that would be okay if the peace of heaven towards you never ended? And it increased and increased and increased. I was sitting here this morning and I saw some families that normally might not be here, whether it's older people, seasoned people, more seasoned people, Lowry's, more seasoned people, or some younger people. I just saw families together, and it made my heart jump. And I just remembered, growing up, I was not raised in a church family. I never, ever, ever went to church, ever. I retired at the age of 10 from Arlington Methodist United Church up in Bridgeton on top of the hill. Retired early and often. Never, ever, ever, ever went to church. And I grew up as a teenager, absolutely a mess. Floundering, struggling, trying to put on airs of pretense of being one of the gang, trying to fit in. But there was this thing every single day. I remember going home from school. It's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I was just, I was a mess on the inside. And the one thing that I remember when my best friend got saved, he had peace in his heart. He was actually at peace. And he was just as messy as me before. And then one day, Jesus walked into his life and he had peace. And as I was reading this week, I'd be absolutely fine if the increase of his peace increased in my life every single day. Because every stage of life has its challenges. Whether you're looking for a husband, looking for a wife, trying to figure out, you know, are we going to have children? You're in school. Where am I going to go to school? Why are my parents always on me? Why are they always challenging me? Why are they doing this and that? When you look at your kids and you're wondering, why are they crying when they shouldn't be crying? Why aren't they sleeping when they're supposed to be sleeping? And anybody here ever remember tired parent days? When will these children ever sleep? We had twins. 4 years it took to sleep through the night. It was only 4 years. We call them the dark years. I don't know what happened, but they just happened. And then financial stress and college and growing older, and you think, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? If there was one thing that Jesus has for people this morning, it's the peace of heaven, and it's on offer for you, but it's only with him. The world will get it through pills, excess, alcohol, drugs. The world is looking for peace, and Jesus says, I am peace. I am peace. Concluding verse 7 out of Isaiah 9, the Bible says this, of the greatness, increase of his government, and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal, the enthusiasm, the energy, the life of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He's more zealous about me having peace and you having peace than I am. It's his zeal. He's excited about it. He wants to give it to me and to you that we would normalize it, make it part of my everyday experience. That's what he has to offer. And again, this is rhetorical, so no hands raised. No hands raised. But just, in fact, if you want to, just close your eyes for a second. Somebody's probably going to give you $100 and you'll wake up, $100. Just close your eyes for a second. And I have a simple question for you, just rhetorically for you to consider. Would you be okay if the peace of heaven came into your life in increased measure today over that situation, over that relationship, over that unmet need yet? Would you be okay if the peace of heaven increased and came upon you and in you and through you? Would you be okay with that today if that happened for you today? Is that a yes or a no on the inside? Would you be okay with that? That's what Jesus has for you and me today. I might just be speaking to one or two people this morning, and that's okay. But this morning, in your heart, in your life, are you hurting? Are you struggling? On the inside, are you discouraged? Are you depressed? Are there physical and mental challenges in your life or in people that you love? Is there any hope? Is there any answer? in Isaiah 9, it outlines four different things that Jesus is. And I just want to quickly go through those. The first is Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. That's who he is. That's what he is. Maybe this morning you need help. You don't know what to do. You don't know. You don't have an answer. You don't have a solution. Maybe a relational problem. I need wisdom. I'm in such a tricky situation. If I say this, I could bring offense. If I do that, it could cause a bigger problem. I don't know what to do. Can I just offer to you this day that Jesus is the answer, and he has the answer and solution for you. In James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Stephen, how many is all?
All of it.
All of it, okay. Just wanted to check. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Proverbs 2, verses 6 and 10, the Bible says this, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Jesus is, personifies, a wonderful counselor. He is the Wonderful Counselor. Second thing it says in this section, in Isaiah 9, that Jesus is the Mighty God. Is there anybody here that needs a miracle? Do you have an impossibility? Do you have something that maybe science or medicine has no answer for? Maybe you are in a situation with a relative. They're so unruly. There's no answers. It's beyond means. You've tried medicine. You've tried counselors. You've tried books, you've gone to seminars, you've listened to YouTube stuff. There is no answer that you know of. Can I just tell you today that Jesus is the Mighty God? And he's a miracle worker. Do you have an impossibility? Can I say to you and remind you and myself today, miracles are his specialty. It's what he does. And he came to bring the miraculous of heaven into our everyday experience. Matthew 4, 24 says this. Speaking of Jesus, news about him, Jesus, spread all over Syria. And people brought to him, Jesus, all who were ill with various diseases. Those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Matthew 15, verse 30. Great crowds came to him, Jesus, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. Psalm 34, verse 19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And Isaiah 58, 11, the Bible, the Word of God, says this, the Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and will strengthen your frame. He will make your body strong. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. If you need a miracle, Jesus is the way.
Yes,
where's an impossibility? The Bible is filled with normal people. Bob, Shirley, Ted, normal people. And Jesus breaks in and brings heaven to earth. He's a way maker. And nothing is too difficult for him. The Bible in Isaiah 9 also says this, that the Lord is the everlasting Father. He's the God of all comfort. And anytime you talk about fathering and dad, it's always such a challenging situation because so many of us didn't have a great dad. Some of us didn't even know our father. And it can touch just a raw area of emotion, a raw memory, a hurtful memory. But the Lord God says this, He is the perfect Father, the Father you always dreamed of. It's Him. He's never too busy. He's never absent. He's never angry. He's never in a bad mood. You don't have to put your toe in the water to see, is it okay? Is it dangerous? He's the everlasting Father, and He loves you. He's the perfect dad. Do you have challenges? Our Father in heaven is a perfect protector. He's my rock, and He's your rock. 2 Corinthians 1 says this, verses 3 and 4, speaking of our Father. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Let me read that verse again, because I know there's some people who are struggling right here in this church family. This is God's word to you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Psalm 71, verse 20 and 21. Psalm 71. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. One of the things that I misunderstood when I first became a Christian, I thought the thorns were going to be removed. Pain would be removed. Trouble would be far away. Nobody told me that. I just assumed that. And then life happens. But God's promise is this: you will never be alone. You will never be abandoned. You'll never have to walk it by yourself. And the fourth thing that this precious promise in Isaiah 9 says is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that's different than He sends peace. He'll give you peace. He is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. All too often, we feel overwhelmed and life is just too much. Jesus is our answer. Jesus is our peace. John 16, verse 33. Jesus told His followers, I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And in John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, and my peace, the peace that was resident within Jesus, the peace of heaven that He brought with Him. He says, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So this morning, wherever you are, you may be crushing life. Everything is great. Randy and I, we just had celebrated Christmas with three of our four children on Friday. Was it Friday? Seems like Friday. It was Friday. And one of our daughters, she was just at the table and just very quietly. She makes great money. She's an overly intelligent child. She's probably prettier than yours. It's okay. There's no comparison. Bible says don't compare. But our daughter still is not yet serving God again. She gave her heart to the Lord. She was baptized. She was following Jesus. And then life happened. And now she's not following the Lord as mom and dad would want. But we have a tremendous relationship with her. And she's just at the table with us. And she just said, she just found out her company was being bought out. And her Potentially, she was afraid her job was in jeopardy just before Christmas. And just as she was talking, she said, but Dad, she said, I just got a 40% pay raise. I didn't lose my job. I just got a 40% increase. And I just looked at her and I thought, and I didn't say this, there was lots of people at the table, but I thought, Lord, your kindness leads to repentance. Amen. It's your generosity that turns us. It's your love and your mercy. And it just reminded me again how I pray, how I believe for people. The kindness of Jesus is what turns people's hearts. Thank you. And so often, where people frustrate us, or we don't like the government, we don't like this person, we don't have the, and somebody, Lord, bring judgment. It's the opposite of what Jesus brings. He brings the peace of heaven. He brings kindness so that our hearts are one to him. Am I praying rightly? Am I looking at things rightly? Do I understand the peace of heaven? Do I remember what Jesus is and who he was to me in August of 1977? It was his love and his mercy that brought me out. He didn't send pain. He didn't send ugliness into my life to get my attention. It was mercy and kindness and love. And I fell head over heels in love with Jesus that day, knowing I'm so unworthy. I've so messed up my life. I've blasphemed. I've cussed you out, God, a million times. And yet all you do is love me. I was overwhelmed. So maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're here because your husband asked you. And you're like, when will this guy stop talking? Maybe you're under 21 and you're like, oh my gosh, when will this guy stop talking? And you're only here because it's Christmas and this is part of your gift to mom and dad. I hope you like it. All I can say, that was me. I was 18 trying to do it on my own and I made a mess of my life. And I screwed it up royal. Can I say that? I made a mess of my life royal. I had no idea what I was doing, but I wanted to do it my way, and I did. And it was a mess. And then Jesus broke into my life. I just want to say this morning for you, what Jesus offers you this morning, what he offers you is a fresh start. You don't have to start going to this church. You don't have to do this and stop doing that. Jesus wants to walk into your world and love you and bless you and bring you close. And any area of your life that he wants to change, he will help you change it. But it'll be by his initiative, not somebody else's. Whatever he wants to bring change, he'll help you do it with grace and peace and mercy. In Matthew 11, I'll conclude with this. Matthew 11:28, the Bible says this, come to me, Jesus, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Yeah. Jesus, I thank you for how you love me. Total non-follower of Jesus, my first years, and yet you loved me, and you came into my life, and you changed me. And you've taken me on an adventure, Jesus. And I want to say thank you. But from the bottom of my heart, Father, thank you for forgiving me my sins. All my bad attitudes and my ugly ways of thought, my ugly ways of life. You forgave me and simply loved me. And if you're here this morning and you'd like to make Jesus center in your life, if you'd like to surrender to Jesus this morning and make him your Lord, make him your boss, make him the one guiding your life. He offers you a fresh start this morning. If that's you, just pray with me. Jesus, I came here this morning not intending to do this, but I ask you into my life. Will you forgive me for how I've lived my life? Please forgive me, Jesus. I've heard I need to put my trust in you. I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to give you my life, and I ask you to help me. Help me navigate through life. I don't want to be a phony. I don't want to be religious. I just need help. So Jesus, I'm asking for help. Come into my life right now, please. I surrender to you. I'll do whatever you want. I'm yours. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you prayed that with me, I would like to talk to you after the meeting. It's going to be super, super simple. I just would like to offer you a couple of thoughts. You go ahead and bring the kids in. They start from back there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sit down. Okay, if you're able, could I have everyone stand if you're able? Let me pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, help us as... if we haven't already celebrated with our family, Lord, that we would represent you well, Jesus. That your kindness would be in our homes as we enjoy family, even the awkward ones. Lord, give us grace. Give us compassion. Give us mercy and kind heart and kind words towards those that you brought into our world. Bless this day. Bless tomorrow. Thank you so much for loving us so beautifully and so perfectly. Lord, we love you. Yes. And we say thank you with everything in us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, King Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Have an amazing day today and tomorrow. Thank you.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.